words. It's your breath in our lungs. And it just makes me think, and even the most like basic thing we can be thankful to God for, the fact that we're alive today, the fact that you can right now inhale and exhale, and God is keeping you here because he has a purpose for you. And so no matter who you are out there, there is something you can be thankful for. And so right now, let's just take another 30 seconds. And I just want you to close your eyes. And if you are comfortable, just lift up your hands as a way to show God you're worshiping him, you're surrendered to him. And in your own words, just begin to thank him for stuff. God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the breath that is in our lungs. We thank you, God, for the ability to be here tonight. We thank you that you give us purpose and hope and peace. And I just ask right now throughout this room, as they're kind of worshiping you, God, that you would just meet with people tonight, that this would be a night where the supernatural takes place in people's lives, where anxiety is healed and depression is healed, and you deliver people from stressful situations, and you give people the help they need tonight in every way that they might need it. Because God, you are a God who is able to help us and who loves us. And so I just ask that you would meet with us here tonight. As we turn to your word, I ask that you would give us a heart that can just receive it. That each person in this room, that their heart would be like fresh soil that your word could be planted in, and that it would grow and just bear fruit. I ask that you bless each person as they take a seat. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. I might have to lower this a little bit. No jokes. All right. How's everybody doing? Y'all doing good? Man, it's good to be back. We haven't been here like in the sanctuary for a Wednesday, I don't know, like 3 or 4 weeks. It's been a minute. So I'm really, really excited to be with you guys tonight. We're going to go through a sermon series called Greater Reward. It's going to be 2 to 3 weeks. And when I first heard this sermon series preached by Life Church, I was like, I'm going to grab that. I'm going to change a lot of it. But it's going to be, I think, good information for us, especially as we start a new year. Who can believe that we're in 2026?
What?
When I was a kid, like, 2026 was so far away, I thought there would, like, be flying cars. I thought there would be medicine to make you taller. I thought there would be all kinds of things that they haven't got yet. So, but here we are, 2026. And I'm excited. I don't know. Are you excited for this year? Is this like you're excited for this year? Yeah? Does anybody want to share like a New Year's resolution or like goals that you have for next year? All right. Missy's got one. Let's hear it.
To read my Bible every single day.
To read your Bible every single day. I love it. That's great. That's a good one. Harley, back here. What do you got, Harley?
Drink more soda.
Drink more soda. That's a goal. That's a goal. All right. I'll work around here.
Get a new dirt bike.
Get a new dirt bike. I like it. All right. Angel.
Focus on my sports.
Focus on her sports. These are good ones, guys. I see Remy up here.
Have him fail my class.
Say it again.
Have him fail my class.
You want to fail your class? You haven't failed your class. The year's off to a good start.
I want to start on my football team.
Want to start on the football team. I love it.
I want to dunk.
You want to dunk? All right. Start working on it now. Like while you're sitting there. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody else got one? Like New Year's plan? All right. Let's hear it, Brandon.
To fix my dirt bike and sell it for more.
Jake is in need for a dirt bike.
No.
He knows what you've done to that dirt bike. He's like, no. Anybody else? All right. Let's hear it, Nikki.
Focus more on God.
Focus more on God. That's on my list, too. Yeah, do you have a second one? All right, I'm going to get Marshall first.
To dunk before Camden.
To dunk before Camden. Oh, it's on.
Read my Bible every day.
Read your Bible every day. I love it. These are good, guys. These are good. All right, anybody who didn't list one, Remy, is this going to be a real one? All right.
Spend time with family.
Spend time with family?
Start next year.
Start next year. You guys are competing for the starting job. One of you. Not both of you. I'm just kidding.
I can't.
She can't? Oh. It's a goal, but it's not that important of a goal. All right. All right. Hey, is anybody, raise your hand in here if you've ever had a goal or something that you've had, like a resolution, and then you didn't get it done. You didn't get it done. Yes, absolutely. Probably all are on that list. For me, the two, like in the past, the two that I've always had that I've never been able to follow through on or not for very long is working out and reading books. Those are usually on my list, working out and reading books. So here's what happens a lot of times. Hey, guys, a lot of talking out there. Let's lock in. Everybody say lock in. Help me out. All right, thank you. Thank you, guys. Let's lock in and focus. So what happens a lot of times, people make goals, right? They want to do it. They want to make honor roll. They want to quit cussing. They want to get in their Bible every day. And then they get to, like, January 20th, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, man. I like, you even forget you had the goal because you've gotten so far off. I can't remember the percentage, but it's a very low percentage of New Year's resolutions that make it to, like, mid-February. So a lot of times that happens. And, you know, I'm guessing all of you have had some area in your life like me that you want to improve. So I've got New Year's goals this year, some things I want to do better. But again, a lot of times what happens is we get going with it, and then for whatever reason, we get thrown off. And that's a real thing. And that can apply to our lives with God, right? We have good intentions. We want to change. We want to do something different. But then we find it really difficult to make the changes we want to make. And so I know all of us, like, have been in that spot, and again, it can apply to our walk with God as well, because what we know is that if we want to do something for God, we're going to have challenges against that, where it's going to be hard to always follow through on that. And a lot of times for me, I've had goals like, hey, I'm going to witness to more people about God, and then I find myself not pushing myself to do it, right? I have found goals in the past like, hey, I'm going to be more consistent with spending, like, a lot of time in prayer, and then not following through on it, and it's really hard. So, got a few questions for you guys. Just by show of hands, how many of you want to follow God, right? All right, how many of you want to find God's plan for your life? How many of you want to consistently make the best decisions for God? That's like, right, hopefully all of us. So, we could say that following God, hopefully for you guys, is like number one. It's the most important thing in your life. But then what we find is that there are other things that we sometimes want which are not what God wants, and we end up choosing that in the moment, if that makes sense, right? So what we end up doing is we got this thing, like what we want most is to follow God, to have God's purpose, to make the right decisions. That's the thing we want most. But then there's this thing we want now. We want to do this thing now, and we end up choosing the thing we want now over the thing we want most, if that makes sense. And I'll give you an example of this. Let's say for you, the thing you want most in your life is you want to obey God, right? You want to obey God. But then what happens at school is there's some person that starts annoying you really bad. Someone starts annoying you really bad, or maybe they're talking bad about your sister or whatever it might be. And so then even though you want to follow God the most, the thing you want now is for them to catch these hands. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing you want now, because that would feel a lot better. So that's kind of how it goes. There's things that we want most, like the thing we want most to follow God. There's things we want now. Another example of this is, think about this. Let's say right now I said, hey, I'm going to offer somebody $5 right now. Or you could have that now. Or you could wait till the end of the month and get $50. Ooh, 50 is a lot better. What if I told you you could get 50 on Friday instead of 5 today? And so the thing you want most might be getting the 50 on Friday, but you see this $5, and some of you guys are like, oh, I can get some V-Bucks. I can add that, you know what I'm saying? Some of you are thinking about that. And so you want the V-Bucks now. So that's what I'm saying. These situations come up in life in normal stuff, but in our walk with God, it comes up as well. Because we may want to choose God because we want him most, but then we got these other decisions that we may want to do in the moment. And I can think back to so many times in my life that I'm like, I want so bad to live for God. I want so bad to get closer. I want to know the Bible, all this and that. And then next thing you know, the thing I want now shows up in front of me, and I'm choosing that instead. And it's a decision. And it's frustrating when that happens, right? And so most of us, we want to be people in here. We want to read the Bible consistently. We want to do all that consistently. But a lot of times we find ourselves choosing the opposite. Has anyone ever been in that boat? You're just choosing the opposite thing of what you want to choose, right? You're not choosing the thing for God. And so Paul experienced that too. He talks about this in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. And I want you to keep in mind, Paul was like the GOAT of all apostles. This guy was incredible. He wrote a third of the New Testament. God used him to pray over people, and they came back to life, people who were dead. This guy was incredible. He did all kinds of great things. But he could relate to this idea that I'm talking about tonight, where he wanted to make decisions that honor God, and what he found himself doing, what giving in and doing the opposite. So if Paul can go through that, that's something we all face too. And so this is what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. He said this, and it's a little wordy, but I'll explain it. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, that I do. And then in verse 18 and 19, we'll pick it up like toward the end of verse 18. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. So what Paul is saying here is that he wants to do the right things, but he finds himself not doing those things. And then he says he wants to do what is right, but he can't. He keeps failing. Instead, he finds himself doing all the wrong things. Have you ever felt that way? You want to live for God, but you keep failing. You want to follow Jesus, right? You want to be kind to people. You keep cussing. You want to make better decisions, but then you end up cheating on a test, right? You want to like set yourself up for a better future, have godly friends, but you start running with the wrong people who drink again, right? We start making these decisions, and Paul somewhat talked about that. And for Paul, it made him feel terrible about himself. This is what he said in verse, I think it's verse 24. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? In other words, he was saying this. I'm miserable. Another version actually calls it, I'm a miserable man. And he's saying, I'm not the person I want to be at times. I'm not doing the thing I want to do at times. And it's a terrible feeling. I don't like it. And so we want to talk about this tonight, and we want to understand in those moments, like, why do we make these decisions that we ultimately don't really want to make, and how can God help us with that? And so that's what we're talking about tonight. And really to talk about it, the first word that comes to mind is a word called discipline. And so I have a definition of that up on the screen. But discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. I'm going to say that again. Choosing what you want the most over that thing that you want now. So every year, what I do on Thanksgiving night is I make a batch of no-bake cookies. So I cannot make anything in the kitchen. I'm really bad, but I can do one thing, and I can do it really good. I'm a one-trick pony, but it's a heck of a trick. I'm really good at making these cookies. I will make a batch on Thanksgiving night, and then the family, mostly myself, will eat these. And then the minute that batch runs out, I make another batch and another batch all the way through New Year's Day. And then I don't make them all year. And for 6 weeks, I become a glutton for these cookies. I will eat them for breakfast. I'll have like a 10 a.m. snack of these cookies. I'll eat my lunch, then a cookie. I'll have a snack in the afternoon. I'll eat them right before bed. And every time I eat these cookies, I drink a glass of milk with it. So here's what ends up happening. As you can imagine, I'll go into the holidays with a certain weight in my belly in a certain place, and by the time January's up, dad bod has been activated. And I'm in my dad bod era, and that's where I am right now. And so that's the effect the cookies have on me. Now, what if, think about this, what if I just said, you know what, I want my dad bod to go away, and I just wished it. If I just wished it in my mind, would it change anything? No, I would have to stop eating the cookies, right? I have to have the discipline to stop eating the cookies. And that's how things are with us. We can't wish ourselves to becoming who we want to be in God. You can't just wish yourself. You're talking about like starting on the team. You're talking about dunking. Can you wish yourself into dunking if you're not LeBron? Like, no, right? So you can't wish yourself into these things. And listen, following God is a lot the same way. If you just wish, like I heard a lot of hands up like saying you want to read the Bible consistently. If you just wish you do that, is that going to make it happen? No. It takes discipline. It takes you, like what it says here, choosing what you want most over what you want now. Because here's what happens. You want most to be a person who knows the Word of God. But in the moment, it's going to feel better to sleep in a little bit more. you guys, I know how it goes. You're going to be playing Madden. It's going to feel, right now, it's going to feel a little better to keep playing Madden and not turn it off and pick up the Bible. What we want most versus what we want now always comes into play. And discipline is really important. Discipline is really important in that. So the question is, why is it that we want to be disciplined and we want to do this, right? Choose the thing we want most over the thing we want now. Why is it we really want that, but we still end up failing on things? I want you to think about that for a minute. Why is it that we end up failing on that? And here's a big reason for it. It's because we're relying on willpower to do it. We get this like burst of energy or like this motivation, and we're like, hey, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to power through it. I can do this. And you'll get really excited about it. But I want to tell you, willpower might work for a little while, but then it's going to end up failing you. And so think about this. Let's say you're not trying to eat any sweets right now. And I go to West Plains. There's a really good donut place in West Plains, if y'all don't know. If you go to Youth Alive, you've had these donuts. And I go, and I got an assorted box, and I'm going to put it right here and open it up. And it's got glazed, it's got chocolate covered, it's got sprinkled, and they're fresh off the line or whatever it is they make them on, and they're soft, and they're so good. And you walk by that, and you're like, no, hey, I'm not doing sweets. And you got to walk through this room over and over again for whatever reason. And like you walk by him, and you're like long way away. You're like, I'm not even getting near him. Why? I got willpower. I ain't going to do this. Second time, you got to walk through it. You may get a little closer, and you may look, right? And then next time, the third time you got to walk through here, you're going to walk, and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to smell it. I'm just going to smell the box. You smell the box. You're like, those smell pretty good, but I got willpower. Next time you come around, you're like, oh, you know what? Half a donut won't kill me. And you're breaking the donut in half. Listen, if you try to hold on and do things through willpower only, usually it's going to break down on you, and following God is a lot the same way. Because, listen, when you try to follow God and make choices for God, you not only got to fight your own will and distractions, you have an enemy that's trying to fight you. The enemy would love to distract you and discourage you and keep you from doing the things God wants you to do. So oftentimes what happens is we're trying to go on willpower. It might go good for a little while. It might be going good. It holds you up for a little while. And then ultimately, though, you end up failing to it. And so here's what happens. We get to that place of temptation where we can make a choice to look at something we shouldn't look at. Or we have this choice where we should date somebody we know we shouldn't date. Or we have this choice to, whatever, cheat on a test or whatever it might be. And so what happens is the enemy comes along and he tries to minimize and say, hey, it's no big deal. No one's going to see you do it. It's not going to hurt anybody. You can get away with it. And he whispers all these lies into you to try to get you to commit and do that thing, right? And so he minimizes the impact on your sin. But here's what happens. When you then do that and you fall, what ends up happening is that same enemy that whispered into you and tried to minimize the sin, then he comes back behind that sin and he says, look what you did. You should be ashamed of yourself. How could you do that? You're turning out just like your parents. You're turning out, your dad was an alcoholic, and now look, you're turning into an alcoholic. All you do is fail. And so the same enemy that comes along and tells you it's okay to stumble, don't worry about it, nobody's going to know. Once you make the mistake, he comes along and he throws shame all in your face. And here's what he tries to do. He tries to connect the area that you failed in to your identity. And he tries to tell you, you failed in that area, therefore you're stuck. You're a prisoner. You can't get out of it. And that's why I want to tell you today that so much of following God is understanding your identity in Jesus. You want to be firmly rooted and grounded on who God says you are, because the enemy wants to distort your identity and make you think that you are whatever you're doing. And so here's what happens a lot of times. I'm going to read verse 24 from Romans 7 that we're looking at. And this is Paul still talking, right? And he says this, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Another version says, "Oh, miserable man that I am." We talked about this a second ago. And so he was feeling some form of this, right? He's like, oh, this feels terrible. I'm going back and forth between what I don't want to do and not doing what I do want to do. It feels terrible. And we get in this cycle, and I'm going to call it the shame cycle. And we're going to see it up on the screen. Okay? So you'll see it up here on the screen. All right, so here's what happens is we end up deciding that we want to make better decisions, okay? So how do we do that? Let's try hard. So we talked about willpower and just trying to do it on your own strength. And so willpower kicks in. You're like, I got this. I can do, you know, I'm going to conquer this thing. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I got this. And so we try really hard at the top. And because we're trying on our own strength, not God's strength, we're trying to do it ourselves, willpower eventually gets weak. And we usually end up giving in and failing in a way we don't want. And then when we fail, the enemy's right there. Condemnation, shame, guilt. And because we have those thoughts and we're hearing that, we're thinking that's our identity, we don't want that. No, I don't want that. I'm going to try harder. So we try hard, and then we're right in this loop over and over again. And I call this the shame cycle. And it's not where God wants you to live. It's not what he has for your life. He has better, and Jesus can show up, and he can break this cycle for you. And we're going to talk more about this here in a second. So I'm going to tell you, if you're in that place, if you're in this place tonight, I want you to have a lot of hope. Because I cannot tell you how many times I have been right there. And some of you have heard part of my story, but guys, I was a full-blown meth addict at one point. And this was an everyday thing. This was an everyday thing. In and out of it. I mean, I could get graphic and tell you more stuff about that. I won't go deep on that. But I can tell you, I live this. And I can tell you that Jesus can come in and break this. But if you're trying to break this cycle, it doesn't have to be as serious as drugs, guys. It can be all kinds of things. But if you're trying to get better and get closer to God, and you're just trying to power through it, you need the power of the Holy Spirit, not willpower, to do it. And so there's hope for you today. All right, so the Apostle Paul, he was wrestling through some of this stuff. He was saying, "A miserable man that I am." In verse 25, he says this. So he just said the words, "Who will rescue me from this," right? "Oh, wretched or miserable guy that I am. Who in the world's going to help me with this?" He says this in verse 25. "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus my Lord." So he's saying, who can get me out of that cycle? Who can get me out of this where I'm just not doing what I want to do? I'm doing what I don't want to do. Only one, and his name is Jesus. And he can break you out of it. And so it starts with your identity. It starts with right there, where we're going to get caught in the guilt and the shame and feeling like we're not good enough, we can't do it, we're never going to get out of the sin. It's breaking that and understanding who God says you are. And I want you guys really to get this. Who God says you are. If you are in Christ, he says that you are a new creation. If you are in Christ, he says that you are forgiven. If you are in Christ, he says there is now no condemnation. He says you are called and set apart. He says you have freedom. He says this, you have the righteousness of God in Christ dwelling in you, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you. So when you realize you belong to Jesus, you begin realizing and grabbing onto this thing. You know what? I'm not a prisoner anymore. I'm not an addict. Being an addict is not my identity. Jesus says, I am free. I'm going to start walking in that. The enemy does not want you to get this, guys. The enemy would love for you to just keep thinking that you're stuck where you are. He would love to keep you in this cycle. And what he doesn't want is for you to grab onto this and say, no, I'm free in Jesus' name. This is my identity. I'm a child of God. And so how do we live this out? We rely on the Holy Spirit. Relying on the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about this, okay? Because, listen, it's one thing to live it out on a Sunday. It's one thing to live it out on a Wednesday night. I used to be a Sunday Christian, even when I was your age for a while. I was like, Sunday, oh, I'm all in it. I'm feeling bad for what I did. I'm asking God to forgive me. I think I got saved every week. Like, I'll come to the altar and be like, God, forgive me. I did it again. And then Tuesday rolls around, I'm right back in the same boat. And so in that cycle. So how we live that out, we need more than willpower. And this is what Galatians 5:16 says. Galatians 5:16, this is a good verse. It would be a great verse for you guys to memorize. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So it's two different things. It's if you do this, then this will be what happens, right? It's like an if-then statement. And so if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. What is the desires of the flesh? We don't, like, sometimes we'll read some language, we're like, I don't know what that is. I don't talk that way in real life. Well, what the Bible's saying to us there is that this nature that tries to rise up in us and tries to get us to choose the thing God doesn't want us to do. It's like that part of us that's like, hey, it would feel good. They said what? It would feel good to throw hands at this guy for saying what he said. That's that part. That's the sinful nature. That's the flesh coming up in you. And that's the part that you, if you want to walk with what you want most and have more of God in your life, you got to find a way to not gratify that part of your flesh. You got to choose what you want most over what you want now. How do we do that? This verse tells us right here, we do that by walking in the Spirit. So what is walking in the Spirit? What in the world is that? So when we walk in the Spirit, what we're saying is we want to be faithful to God's direction in our life. We are not by willpower. We want the Holy Spirit to come inside of us and live in us, and we want Him to give us strength every day. It's a strength that you don't have on your own. And so, not to get too technical here, but in Galatians 5:16, there's a part of that. So when it says walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, that phrase there, actually, we just know the word walk, but how it actually means is it's a present tense verb. And what it means is this: you not just walk like I'm going to walk to the back of the room and walk back and that's it, I walked. No, it's a continual thing. And so think of like habitually over and over again walking. So when we say walk by the Spirit or walk in the Spirit, it's like you're doing it over and over. You're going to do it again and you're going to do it again. So what does that look like in your life? It looks like you wake up in the morning and you say, today, I need the Holy Spirit's help to make good decisions. Heavenly Father, would you help me by your Holy Spirit not to say the things I want to say to people, not to do the things I'm going to be tempted to do today, not to look at the things I'm going to be tempted to look at today. Would you help me by your Holy Spirit to make good decisions? And then you get to school. On your drive to school, you might pray that thing again or pray something different. If you're going to practice, you may have a practice and there's a ball hog on the team who never passes you the ball. And you're like, God, help me today. I do not want to be nice to this guy. Will your Holy Spirit please help me to be kind to this person today and not be a rude jerk to them? And so listen, in your everyday situations that you're going to have these temptations to choose what you want now, that's an opportunity for you to open your heart and walk in the Spirit. It's a depending on God. Here's what's really cool. If you're doing this and you're moment by moment saying, okay, I'm going to pray right now. You don't have to pray out loud, guys. In the classroom at your desk, you can think these thoughts toward God. And you're doing this throughout your day. What you're doing, maybe without realizing it, you're having a relationship and a conversation with God continually throughout your day. Let me tell you, guys, your life and God will go to another level. If you just practice this of saying, you know what, my whole day can be an ongoing conversation with God. That's how you walk in the Spirit. It's inviting Him into these moments. Man, it's a beautiful thing. When you start doing that, what you will find, I don't know how many of you have ever experienced like feeling the presence of God, but when you can go to Dollar General, I got to run in and get milk, but you're thinking about God and His presence is all over you, and you're like, I'm not doing this alone. Jesus is with me stepping into a random place. That's a game changer. And that's the closeness that Jesus wants with you because He loves you. And so what we find is when we start walking in the Spirit, it's a completely different cycle. And Cody, if you could bring up that other cycle, is this, right? We say, I'm going to start at the top again. I want to depend on the Spirit. This is not try hard. This is I'm going to depend on the Spirit. What happens is it builds our faith. We start trusting in Jesus as we walk. It builds our faith. Because we're believing that Jesus is with us, because now we're believing we're a child of God, that He's going to help us, it empowers us to make the right choices. Not your willpower. You still have to make the decision. God's not going to put you on autopilot. He's not going to make you a robot and suddenly He chooses for you. You still have to make the choice in the moment, but He's giving you the power to do it. And then as you do that, you get closer to God through that. I'll tell you guys this too, okay? There might be, for a lot of people in this room, certain areas of temptation you keep tripping up on. Let me tell you something, and I cannot overemphasize this enough. When you get to a place in your life where you say, with the Holy Spirit's help, I am done with my past. I am done failing in that area. I am going to give everything to Jesus every day. I don't want any shortcoming or sin in my life. You're still going to make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. But when you have that kind of resolve through letting the Holy Spirit help you get there, guys, God is going to show up and start doing things in your life that you would be amazed by. And it's all as you lean on the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask everybody if they would stand up tonight. And if everyone would, let's just close our eyes, bow your heads. And God, I just ask that you would work in this moment. You should show up in this room and do what only you can do tonight. Guys, with your eyes still closed, I just want to first invite our adult leaders, if you would go to the sides of the room, just pick a side and just kind of go over to the side, not necessarily up front, but go to the sides. And everyone else, continue to keep your eyes closed. I just want to first really give an opportunity for somebody who maybe you don't know Jesus today. Maybe you are in a spot where you know you are running. You know the truth. You've heard it. Or maybe you're hearing more tonight than you've ever heard. I don't know. But you're in a spot and you're like, you know what? I'm ready to give up. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of trying to do it myself. And I'm ready to give in and let the love of Jesus fill my life. And I want to be different. If that's you, just raise your hand today. Awesome. I see these hands. I'm going to ask you, if you've got your hand up, I want you quietly just to go to a side of the room and find a leader. And there's going to be one on the same side of the room you're on. There should be a leader. Or you can go find one across the room if you need to. Awesome. And then for all of us, you know, I don't know any believer who has not struggled in some area to just keep their life right with God, to make the right decision all the time. It's just part of living in this life. It's a struggle and a challenge. And so I'm going to invite everyone up here, and I really want you to ask God to teach you how to live this life of walking in the Spirit. He has that for all of you, and it's a game changer. And so if you would, just go ahead and start making your way up front. I'm going to pray over you as you walk up here, and then I'll go around and pray for people too. Heavenly Father, as these teens come up front, God, we just ask that you would work in their hearts, that you would work in their lives, that you would show up and break cycles of sin right here in the name of Jesus, break cycles that have people where they feel like they're in prison and they can't get out of it. I ask that you would bring freedom today in Jesus' name.